Publix. Praise God. Don't need a gym. Amen. And wrestling goats and all the things that he does to stay in shape. Shoveling stuff. Amen. Okay, we won't even go there, Sean. Amen. God's mercies are new every morning, according to the book of the Blues, Lamentations. This is the first time that Jeremiah has sung the blues. I opened our radio ministry to ministers talking about Jeremiah wanting to live out in a shack somewhere away from all the people, because if you read his resume, he wouldn't be pastor material. Amen. Because he preached and nobody listened. Amen. He preached and no one repented. He preached and there was no change in Israel. He preached, and in spite of all of his preaching, amen, they rebelled against God, and they were carried away captive to Babylon. Say amen. And he was often discouraged. He was known as the weeping prophet. Amen. And in the midst of all of that discouragement, this merciful God says, don't give up on me. Can you say amen? Because I haven't given up on the nation of Israel. Amen. It's easy to give up when you become discouraged, particularly when you don't see what you want to see. I'm reminded, and I think I will read this in our own situation here, because I always fight discouragement, because a lot of times when you see unfaithfulness in people, it makes you discouraged. You want to see people mature. You want to see them get rooted and built up in God. You want to see them rejoicing instead of retreating. Can you say amen? Amen? Taking ground from the devil instead of giving ground up and losing ground. And sometimes it's difficult to not look at the circumstances when the circumstances are telling you the truth about the immediate situation. Amen. And the immediate situation in Israel, it was very, very negative. And he felt like a complete failure. He felt like there's no hope anymore. And he wrote a book of the blues. Everybody say the blues. I used to listen to a radio station, old school. I liked a rhythm and blues when I was a teenager. I wasn't really too much into the pop stuff as I was the rhythm and blues. And instead of listening to Wake Up Little Susie, amen, which I better not sing that because I had to inject Pamela's name into the song, amen, to those songs. But I like the rhythm. I like to hear Muddy Waters. No, that's a singer, if you don't know. It's Muddy Waters and Lightning Slim Hopkins. I used to wait till late at night, amen, when they would come on and WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee, and they put on those down. When I say down and dirty, I don't mean anything bad, but just rhythm and blues, you know, Muddy Waters, Lightning Slim Hopkins. There's others that might come to my mind, but they're from way back there. Amen. But it's, they did. They advertised. I listened to the blues. Lamentations is Jeremiah lamenting over the fact that he preached and nobody listened. What God told him in the midst of all this trouble is incredible. I grabbed a hold of that because here's something to help me. This is mainly maybe for me. It was a true story. It was a stormy night in Birmingham, England. And Hudson Taylor was to speak at a meeting. A great preacher, won many to Christ. But he was to speak at a meeting in the Severn Street schoolroom. His hostess assured him that nobody would attend on such a stormy night. But Taylor insisted on going. Isn't that amazing? A preacher of that stature that is going to preach in a schoolroom and it's storming. And the hostess that was hosting the meeting said, you know, no one's going to show up. We might as well call this meeting off. But he said, but Taylor insisted on going. He said, I must go even if there's no one but the doorkeeper. Less than a dozen people showed up, but the meeting was marked with unusual spiritual power. Isn't it good to know that it don't take a crowd for God to show up? In fact, if the crowd is producing the enthusiasm, amen, you won't know if God did show up until you need a genuine deliverance from him or genuine help from him. Amen. It was marked with unusual spiritual power. Half of those present either became missionaries or gave their children as missionaries. And the rest were faithful supporters of the China Inland Missions for years to come. He had 12, but it was the 12 that he wanted there. And he poured out his spirit and called 6 of them who went to be missionaries. Amen. And the rest of them had children that went out and to be missionaries. And the ones that didn't go at that particular time supported inland missions for years to come. Amen. You can have a 500 people in a room and not find 12 that God can use like that. But God had the 12. And you know who those 12 were? They were the people that come through the wind and come through the rain and said, I got a good excuse for not going, but I'm going. Hallelujah. And God said, I can use those people. Can you say amen? Somebody give God glory in here. Hallelujah. Now, preacher was illustrating a sermon. And I never heard it put this way until a couple of years ago, but it's very true. Amen. A preacher was illustrating a sermon. He got one of those, remember the old black phones that you could also use to ward off an intruder with? Amen. They weighed about 5 or 6 pounds. They're made out of that hard carbonated whatever stuff, and you pick that up and crack somebody on the noggin, they back off. Amen. Amen. That's serious phones, those phones. Well, he had one of those phones that his mama had and his grandma had. And he decided to use it when he was going to speak to young people. And he set that phone out and he picked it up and he said, I want to teach you about prayer. And so he used that telephone as an illustration, that old phone, to illustrate to them. You know and in fact, we used to sing a song, Jesus on the Main Line. Tell him what you want. Praise God. Well, you can't get everything you want, but you can get everything he wills. And if you get everything he wills, you'll find out that's all you really need. Amen. Hallelujah. God has made provisions for you and me. All right. He was using that phone, and one little boy put his hand up like this little boy over here does a lot. Can you say amen? Praise God. He puts his hand up and he's waving like that. Amen. And the pastor says, what is it, Johnny? And Johnny said, you've talked to us about calling up Jesus when we need him and calling on Jesus no matter what is happening and calling on Jesus. He said, Pastor, what's his phone number? Pretty legitimate question. My dad said their phone number when they lived in Kentucky back in the day was like Madison 343. Their house was number 343. Small town. Numbers were not big. Didn't need all the different things. Area codes and such. Amen. Hallelujah. But so the pastor immediately responded. He said, Jeremiah 333. Say it with me. Jeremiah 333. You know what Jeremiah 33:3 is? And call upon me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Can you say amen? Now, I don't want you thinking about revelations. People see something you don't know, you think of revelation. You know, God's going to show me something mystical, something in a vision. God does work in visions and dreams and things mystical, but this is not mystical. This is practical and purposeful. It is in the context of what God is going to do to rescue people that look like they're beyond hope. And that was going to be the encouragement. When he said, I'm going to show you things, amen, that thou knowest not, that means that you have never seen or experienced before. I'm going to show you, he says, some incredible things like you have never seen before. It is future tense, but I'm going to bring these things to pass. And when he did it, when he brought them out of Babylonian captivity, where they thought they would die out as a race, be absorbed into the culture of Babylon, and never go back to Jerusalem again. Amen. When he brought them out, Psalm 126 tells you what these incredible things were. They said, when God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were as those that dream. It was too good to be true. It was so incredible. Everybody say, so incredible. God is telling Jeremiah, because of my mercy and grace and my awesome power and authority, I'm going to show you things you never dreamed of. In fact, you're going to think you're dreaming when it happens. Even though it looks hopeless, and even though their own sin and folly has got them into this mess, my mercy is new every morning, and my power to deliver is set upon my covenant people. Can you say amen? Amen. People want to get a revelation. Honey, what we need is a realization of this God's power, manifest power. Everybody wants to know more instead of see more. I want to see more of the glory of God. I want to see God move. I want to see people delivered. I want to see people saved. Can you say amen? I want to see, amen, the sick healed. I want to see the blind see. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see the addicted get set free from their addictions. Hallelujah. God delivered my son from 28 years of alcoholism. Hallelujah. And then he healed his liver that had been ate up by the alcohol. And he did it in one fell swoop. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't bring me this Mickey Mouse, namby-pamby, wishy-washy gospel. Because someday you might want your children healed. And if we have no idea what God is going to do, or how he's going to respond, how can we pray the prayer of faith? All right. I love it because God don't mince words. Amen. He told Jeremiah, I will show thee mighty things. This is something he was going to see. This is something God was going to perform. This is something God was going to do. This is not taking him out in the spirit. Some people get took out in the spirit and see all these things, but you don't see anything in their life. You don't see God move. Oh, I saw this and I saw that. Well, show us something. We ain't seen nothing yet. Can you say amen? What are you going to do with that? What can God do with it through you? Better yet. Amen. Praise God. We got people so smart today. I told my wife the other day, amen, I said, there are people, if they know as much as they say they know about how everything's supposed to go, they need to get in a storefront right now and start a church. They need to rent a building somewhere. They need to get on the radio because they are stifling all of this knowledge. Amen? That's a sin of omission. Can you say amen? If you got all, that know-how and you're sitting on it, go out and show us something. Amen? Don't you get tired of hearing people just talk the talk? There's a lot of people can preach the gospel better than me, but there's nobody can preach a better gospel than me because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Saved back then, it'll save now. Listen, people are looking for deeper revelations. What we need is to see God move again. When you've got a child that's sick, like your little baby was sick, amen, we need to see her healed. We don't need a deeper revelation of something when we need a practical application of God's power and presence. I'm here today, like God said in the early part, because the prayer of faith saves the sick. Amen. I was dying. They wrote me off. We had no insurance. They wouldn't even let me go in the hospital till the doctor said on an emergency basis at the county hospital, which is not Tampa General, you have to go down, I think it's 34th Street and turn right, and there's an old building that sits over there, looked like it ought to be tore down to me. Can you say, man? They turned it into a mental hospital after a while, and I visited mental patients in that hospital, and it was gray like something out of a Stephen King movie. It was one of those kind of hospitals. Said, put him in there as a mercy case when he's down to the last stages because he has leukemia and it's that's why he's jaundiced. That's why his eyes are yellow. It's affecting his liver already. All I knew was that I had to lay on the couch most of the day. That I didn't feel like lifting my head or going outside to play. That's all I knew. Amen. But there is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why I'm here today. Amen. You say, Brother Venable, listen, I understand people have abused these things and just used them and put the cross aside just to get healed and get money. Amen. But that doesn't mean God isn't a healer because of their abuses. Amen. We've got to get rid of prayer altogether if we don't believe in miracles. I heard someone say when the last apostle died, the day of miracles were over because we had the book. Well, what good is, how can we distinguish? What would distinguish our God from, what would, listen, we have a book. Amen. The Muslims have a book. The Buddhists have a book. Hey, everybody's got a book. If a book is no more than a book written by men, everybody's got a book. Why is it that we don't need God after we have the book? We need God even more because of the book. The Bible said that He confirms His word with signs following. This man sitting right here, let's forget healing and miracles in terms of a money breakthrough or a cancer healing. Let's talk about a man that God saved from sin. Amen. Confirming this word that if any man be in a Christ, he is a new creation. The old Doug is buried with Jesus and a new Doug has come forth. That's a miracle of God. Days of miracles can't be over or nobody can get saved. Can you say amen? Because a miracle, according to Daniel Webster, amen, a miracle is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. Amen. If God is going to help us to build a building, He's going to have to intervene in the normal course of human affairs. And that is a miracle. I'm amazed that people that won't pray for the sick will pray for the building to be built and expect God to provide the need. And if God does one thing to provide for that need, He has fulfilled the definition of a miracle. The days of miracle can't be over. We can never preach on prayer again. Because if God can't work miracles, He can't intervene in the normal course of human affairs. Can you say amen? He can't help you when you're down. He can't lift you when you are fallen. He can't meet the need when you have a need. Can you say amen? He can't deliver you from an accident. This woman's bruised up here today because she was involved in an automobile accident. You know what that's like. Amen. We got two here in accidents. In fact, Dale was the first one that the devil tried to take out through an automobile accident. Amen. And got busted up. But came through it. And what happened to all of y'all? I guarantee you, whether in your spirit or out your mouth, you did something. Reflex, because you're a Christian. This is a Christian reflex. See, when the world says Jesus, because something goes wrong, they don't know what, when we say Jesus, it's in reverence, it's in trust, it's in faith. Can you say amen? We call upon what? The name of the Lord. Can you say amen? Praise God. Amen. And when I talked with Rose, she said, you know, she just, when it started happening, she just called upon the name of the Lord. Amen. You just cry His name. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something about that name. We were just about to sing it today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what happened after the Holy Ghost was poured out? God said, my mercy is so available. Go tell it near and far to everyone that will listen. And as many as call upon the name of the Lord are going to see something. Amen. Hallelujah. They're going to be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Call upon me and I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you. The Bible said He is, do you understand He'll show you? People seeking revelations when what we need is God to manifest Himself to His people. Amen. For God to come back to us because we have returned to Him. Amen. That we can see His glory again through His acts. Amen. Even Pentecostal churches, we're just as cut and dried. We've got cut and dried. We got a lot of business people out there, and people want to tee off on the golf course Sunday afternoon. They don't want to be stuck with the Holy Ghost service to see God move. They just want God to meet their needs so they can get going. That's it. And we accommodate them. Because they give us what we want. We can build this big building. We can count a whole bunch of heads in that building on Sunday morning. The offering is going to be where we need it to be to meet our budget. We got what we wanted. And they got what they wanted, this cut and dried, convenient service that fits neatly into my schedule. The choir sings, but no one worships. No one shuts their eyes and raises their hands and says, Jesus. I remember my uncle, he was with a major Pentecostal denomination for 25 years. And he pastored a church in Ocala, and a bunch of churches come together. They had this big meeting within the denomination. And they rented a building because the church wouldn't hold all the people to have kind of a convention type thing. And he was also an insurance man on the side. He sold insurance. So some of his clients in the business community, because they knew him, said they would come to the meeting. And they came to the meeting, and he said, I was a little bit nervous because they'd never been exposed to a Pentecostal meeting. So he said, I was a little self-conscious for their sake. And he said, when I saw those businessmen coming in their pinstripe suits and vests, you know, that were businessmen in that area, he said, I thought, boy, oh boy, I hope nothing offends them or nothing bothers them or nothing happens that they won't understand. They get the wrong impression. It's kind of antsy about that. And so the choir comes in and they're ready to start the meeting. And someone comes out and prays, Lord, be here. Let your spirit come here tonight. Let your spirit be here. Well, you see, you can't have it both ways. You you can't pray for stuff like, you better watch what you pray for. Can you say amen? Amen. You can't pray for God to move and then hope he don't embarrass you when he does. Can you say amen? You just can't do that. Remember the movie? I told you this before, but we'll put it on this disc we're making. Remember the movie, The Preacher's Wife, the updated version with Denzel Washington and what's her name? Whitney Houston. Amen. I always said it was Whitney, but I believe, correctively, it was probably Denzel that made this statement. They got a real choir, not just some, you know, actor choir. They got a real spiritual Christian choir, amen, to come and participate in the making of that movie out of Atlanta, Georgia, amen, that sang unto the Lord. Amen. And so they brought them in. This was in Entertainment Weekly magazine, by the way. Amen. So they brought them in, and Penny Marshall was the director of this movie. She's directing. They get the choir ready, and the choir's ready to sing, and they say, sing one of your best, most boisterous praise songs. Well, their praise wasn't to those cameras. See, you put some people in front of a camera, they play to the camera. Put some people in front of the audience, they play to the audience. But you put people that love God and tell them to worship him, they don't play to the camera. They don't listen to the director. Amen. The Holy Ghost starts directing when real praise starts. Amen. And so they begin to praise God. They really got to praising God. They got to singing and praising God and forgot they were on a movie set. They forgot that they were had cameras on them. They forgot that a director was supposed to be listened to. And so Penny Marshall hollered, that's a take. Cut. Well, they, listen, folks. They got caught up worshiping God. You can't cut that. You can't just cut that. Oh, we do it in church every Sunday. Amen. We got an exact amount of time for the announcements. We got the sermon down to 12 minutes and a half so we can close in a gnat's eyelash of 12 o'clock. Can you say amen? To keep everybody happy. Of course, we want God to show up and work miracles. Well, he ain't going to show up in that kind of a circumstance where his worship is timed. We cut it on and we cut it off. Amen. But I like to go there. Because we get out on time. Well, who in the world set the time for worship? What book is that in? Thou shalt worship for 25 minutes and not a minute more. Thus saith. What denomination is this? Where is that in my Bible? This is our day. Give God 1 hour and no more. Thus saith the Lord. I require no more than an hour, and don't let any preacher keep you any longer than that, saith God. I thought it was the Lord's day. I was under the distinct impression that this is his day. His day? This whole day? You mean the whole day? It's his day? A day Listen, I'm not going to get back in that old covenant because we're in the new covenant. But the New Testament church said, listen, amen, we're not under the Old Testament rules, but we are devoted to our God. And we want the whole world to know that we're going to set aside a day, not because of the law, but because of love. Can you say amen? Come on, church. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's people that criticize people who systematically give in church because they say that's the old law. No, honey, it was a new love. They were not doing something because of law. They were doing something because of love. And they felt like God was worth it. And He is. Hallelujah. He is. Souls are worth it. Yeah, souls are worth it. Someone come and ask me, "What, brand new Christian, what do you think I ought to give?" I say, well, God's rule in the Old Testament was a dime out of a dollar. Probably ought to give more than that, all of us. But dear Lord, what a bargain. Is it not worth? Remember the story about the little girl? Two nickels, one for Sunday school, one for herself. She's walking along. Looked around, the dog barks, her car horn. She's on her way to church, and she jerks like that and drops one of the nickels, and it rolls down a drain, storm drain. She, oh, no. There goes the Lord's nickel. Amen. Isn't that incredible? She was so glad. I mean, I feel really bad about it, but I still got my nickel. It wasn't my nickel rolled down that drain. I get so crazy with people that think Jesus ain't worth that. He just ain't worth it. Yeah, He's worth it. He's worth way more than that. I heard a preacher say one time that some people get so into that, though, that they lock into that. Some people won't even meet any of God's criteria. And by the way, it was God's formula. Can you say amen? Man didn't dream it up. And I think it was great. But he said the song is I surrender all, not I surrender one tenth. Can you say amen? That's not how we sing it. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. Listen, God is calling the people today to show them great and mighty things that they have never seen and never dreamed. Amen. When God manifests Himself, it's what He said, I'll show you. Not out in the mystical realm of revelation, but in the personal realm of manifestation. I will show you. Israel looks like they are gone and hopelessly lost forever. But I want you to know, Jeremiah, even though no one came to me, no one listened, the word went forth. But I am still a covenant-keeping God. I am married to the backslider. Amen. He said, and call upon me. When you get down there, don't write me off because I'm not writing you off. Can you say amen? Amen. Sin brought the folly upon them, but mercy was going to bring them back. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, you didn't hear me. Amen. If there was no mercy, there was no basis for restoration. But every morning something happens of every new day. My mercy is new. Every morning. So he said, call on me. Call on me. Don't quit believing that your God, even though your own trouble and your own troubles are a result of your own folly and foolishness, call on me. Repent of your sin and call on me. Can you say amen? Don't write me off because I haven't ridden you off. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at our text. This is real important. Jeremiah lived about 600 years before Jesus. Jerusalem had fallen. Exiles had been. That's where this text is written. Jeremiah 3:3-3. Exiles had been taken away to Babylon. Jeremiah's task was to keep calling the nation to repent and trust God despite the discouragement. Despite the discouragement. I've had people stand and tell me there's no point in playing for America. Right in this building, people have stood and said, no, I don't believe America's ever going to come back to it. Well, nationally, I don't believe the whole nation's going to become Christianized, but I do believe that there can be a mighty revival and many souls swept into the kingdom. And if you call upon me. See, Satan is counting on the fact that we would just give up because we're frustrated because nobody's listening. We can't see true revival. False prophets are everywhere. Write America off. No! God doesn't write off people and nations. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, amen. That's what I was preaching when I got that bad report from a Christian who's got all this knowledge rolling around up here. Can you say, man, and ain't never going to see God do nothing? Can you say, ain't going to see God do nothing? Ain't going to see God do nothing? Because you got to call upon Him even when it looks hopeless. You got to call upon Him even when you're frustrated. You got to call upon Him even when you're discouraged. You got to call on Him even when you're disgusted. Can you say, man? He said, don't let nothing stop you from calling upon me. I'm the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. And where sin abounds, my grace does hyperabound, superabound, more abound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whew. I don't pray a prayer over our food until I ask God to stretch forth His hand. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why, Brother Venable? Because when the gospel is threatened, that's how we're supposed to pray. Amen. They said, don't teach or preach in His name anymore. And they prayed and said, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness we may speak Thy word. Can you say, man, by stretching forth Thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of Thy holy child, Jesus. In other words, confirm Your word. Amen. We are going to speak it, but there has to be something else taking place. People need to be getting truly born again. People need to be getting delivered from sin's dread sway. People need to be getting set free from drugs and alcohol and set free from the culture. And its influence, and Satan and his influence. Amen. Confirm Your word. Confirm it. Behold the threatening to the gospel. And move like you've never moved. Can you say, man, let the God. What happens when the gospel is threatened by false prophets? The true God is let the God. That is the true God. Let Him answer by fire. Let Him show up and show out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Every time there's a power encounter, God wins. Amen. But right now, there's no opportunity for God to win because the power of God is suppressed. We've got the book. And we've got people who know the book. And we've got our buildings. And we've got our books. And we've got our PhD preachers. But you're hard-pressed to see God show up in a meeting. We got 18 stories going. Let's finish at least two of them. Amen. Penny Marshall says, cut! And that choir from Georgia keeps on praising God. In fact, they got their eyes shut and their hands raised. They don't even see Penny Marshall. They don't see the cameras. They don't see nothing but Jesus. And now they're praising God. They're praising God. And Penny Marshall says, cut! And they bring that big clapper out, you know, that's cut. Camera isn't rolling anymore. Penny Marshall now is beside herself. This is in Entertainment Weekly, not Christianity Today. Entertainment Weekly, talking about the entertainment world and the world of movies years ago when that movie was made. She turns, I believe it was to Denzel, either Denzel or Whitney. Both of them have a background in church. Most people that make it out there in that world that can really sing soul music. Amen. They started in a choir singing for God, not on a stage at Las Vegas. Can you say amen? Amen. Penny Marshall said, why don't they stop? And someone who understood the genuine and the real. Amen. You know what they said? They said, if you don't want Him here, don't invite Him. She's got that look on her face. What do you mean? Well, we know what that means. Genuine praise invites the presence of God. Can you say amen? And if you don't want him here, don't get some real Christians up here. Get some actors. Get some actors down off of Broadway and tell them to sing these words to that tune, and you can cut them anytime you want. But if you get real, authentic Christians praising God, Bible said he inhabits the praises of his people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hey, church, let me run something by you. There's a lot of churches want to cut just like they're making a movie or something. Can you say amen? They want to keep it within that neat little framework. They're already out and gone. They ran for the door 10 minutes ago. They're ahead of you at the Golden Corral. Boo-hoo. Amen. They're there right now. It's done. God wanted to do anything else, he can't. God wanted to say anything else, he can't. Choir is not going to sing another verse. They can't. Because the director said cut. So God has no invitation. So if you need a miracle, forget about it. God hasn't even been invited to the worship service, let alone the church service. Oh, Brother Venable, but the choir is so beautiful in their robes. And the preacher is so dignified and so astute. Phooey. When I need a miracle from God, which I need quite often, if a miracle's him intervening in the normal course of things, I need miracles all the time. Amen. There's not a day. Sometimes I get up feeling like I am jerked through a knot hole backwards. Amen. Anybody ever get up and feel that way? Some, I don't always get up feeling like anything except, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. But I go to God and I pray, help me, Jesus, to get through. And something will happen. Somewhere, something. It might be a song that touches my heart. It might be a scripture that jumps off the page. Amen. It might just be walking outside and seeing the breeze and the trees blowing and say, God, you're the author of this. Praise God. You're here. You're moving. You're still on the throne. I feel my spirit coming up. Praise God. Because God has intervened. God has intervened. Amen. He's telling this man that's facing this hopeless situation. He's telling them, amen, listen. He said, Jeremiah kept saying, he kept saying, repent, come back to God. God will deliver us. We are his people. The false prophet said that it's going to be peace, and it didn't happen. But Jeremiah kept saying, no, he won't unless you turn to him. But if you return to him, he will return to you. They advised their leaders to make political alliances and military deals in order to solve their problems. That's what America's doing right now. Jeremiah kept saying their strength was in God, not in chariots. And they needed to get serious about seeking the Lord and his will. He was imprisoned, ridiculed, harassed, and finally tossed into the mud of a cistern and left to die. This particular chapter is part of a promise that God would one day restore and renew the nation despite how dark things are right now. He said, in spite of all this, you keep calling on me. Can you say, man? And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which you have never seen before. The Bible said, amen, that God is able in the New Testament. Spinning off that, see, God's character never changes. In the New Testament, said God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you think or ask, according to the power that worketh in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, the Bible said when God turned the captivity of Zion, that scripture was fulfilled. We were as them that dream. This is so incredible. This is so beyond our wildest expectations. Can you say amen? We had to pinch ourselves to see, is this really happening? Am I going to wake up? Is this a dream? Because no one believed they would ever get out of Babylon. But God brought them out. Can you say amen? And when God turned the captivity of Zion, we were as them that dream. Then, when we realized it was really, really, really true, our mouth was filled with laughter. That's not the Holy Ghost supernaturally coming on you. The Holy Ghost wasn't even given. Their laughter was legitimately based on not the Holy Ghost, you know, giving them a phenomenal something rush, but because they had seen the manifest power of God in the form of their deliverance. Can you say amen? They said, "Woo!" And nobody wondered what was wrong with those emotional Pentecostal people. They were not Pentecostal, but they were very emotional because they'd been set free. And their fortunes restored. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then was their tongue filled with laughter, their mouths filled with song. And then they said, "We were as them that dream." When God did it, we thought it's too good to be true, but yet it is true. New Testament. Here, let's spin off this. Let's match this with the New Testament. Peter is in prison. They wanted to kill him. Amen. But it was a feast day. And they're waiting till the next day to kill him. And he's in stocks. And I don't mean Wall Street kind, which they're not too great either these days. But anyway, amen. He's in stocks and bonds. And if that isn't enough, they got him between two soldiers, chained to two Roman soldiers. I don't know what they thought he was going to do. He's in the jail. He's in stocks. And they put two guards sitting on either side of him. Peter's sitting in the middle, held over to be killed. Church knows it. They go into intercession, and they're praying, and they're believing, and they're praying, and they're believing. Peter falls fast asleep. Peace of God, first thing. I'll tell you, you know what precedes these miracles? It's not just a feeling of power, but a feeling of peace. I've learned that down. I kept waiting on a sense of power before the miracle transpired. But what really comes first is peace. A peace in knowing that God has heard and God is in control. And when that settles over you, you can look for the stuff to start to happen. Can you say, man, when you accept the fact God is in control, I don't know how long it'll take for him to bring it to pass. I know when the peace comes, you can wait it out. And you can wait it out with a song in your heart without losing hope. Praise God. And that peace came over Peter while they were praying that I don't know what's going to happen. It looks hopeless. How can you get out of this? Can you say, man, I'm locked in this place. I'm between two soldiers. My hands are cuffed. And yet I'm sitting here in enough peace to go to sleep. Now, I'm going to tell you, without God's peace, if they're going to kill me the next day, I would be up and alert without Folgers. Can you say amen in my cup? Come on, they're going to kill me next day. I'm going to do some heavy-duty interceding for myself. Can you? Believe me, I can pray for myself. When I'm in trouble, I get a heavy intercessory spirit come upon me. Amen. I could pray all night long. Lord! I used to get up, I had an old Victrola, and we got to hurry and close, but we had an old Victrola my grandmother had in the attic, and they had those old 78 RPMs that big old needle sticks on, you know, and you wind that bad boy up, and it starts spinning 78, it was spinning like that, and there was one song on there, said "The Preacher and the Bear," and boy, I was a kid, and I liked that song. I saw "Preacher and the Bear." This has got to be better than Goldilocks. I want to hear this. And put it on. It was an actual song, but it told a story. Story was a preacher decided to go hunting on Sunday, so he called in sick to his church. Amen. Said, "I'm too sick to come. I got the flu." He lied, number one. That'll get you in trouble with God. So he's off on a bad start. He's going hunting on the Lord's Day instead of coming to church. And he's the pastor. You really in trouble now. Can you say amen? So he's out hunting. And right in the bushes, he's looking for a deer to shoot. And suddenly out of the bushes come a huge bear, big grizzly bear. Arr! Like that. And he drops his gun and runs. And he finds a little skinny tree, and he climbs all the way up to the top of that little skinny tree, and he's holding on. And the big bear down at the bottom see him up on that tree, and he's looking up there, and he's trying to shake him out. That tree's shaking. That preacher's up there. And he said, oh, he did some personal intercession. Can you say, man? He started interceding for himself. He started repenting of all of his sins. And he said, Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den, the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. And then you, and he said something else. And he said, Lord, if you don't help me, because he knew he was in the wrong. He said, Lord, if you don't help me, for goodness sake, don't you help that bear. Can you say? I wish I had that on tape. We'd have played it just then. When I see you out on Sunday, I just hope you're not bear hunting. I mean deer hunting or whatever. God said, it looks hopeless. You seem helpless. They've sinned to the point that their own sin has brought them into captivity. And Babylon is the strongest nation. At that time, there was no nation stronger than mighty Babylon. They can't break themselves free. But he said, don't you give up, Jeremiah. You tell the people, call on me, and I'll show them great and mighty things the day that they get right with me, the day that they get real with me, the day that they come back to me and call upon me and worship no other gods. I'm going to turn their captivity and I'm going to bring them out. And when Babylon resisted, you know what God said? Said with the axe that somebody is cutting with, talk back to the one who's doing the cutting. In other words, he said, the only reason you took them into captivity is because I allowed them to. And when I say give up, you're going to give up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know how the Jews are coming back out of Ethiopia and out of Soviet Russia and other nations? He said, I will say unto the north, amen, to Soviet Russia, give up. Amen. Let my people go. When God says that, something's going to give. We're going to see things happen. Can you say amen? Praise God. When God says it, he watches over his word to perform it. And he said, I'm going to show you a performance of my word. I'll show you great and mighty things, which you know not. In other words, that you've never dreamed. Listen, let me finish this. Peter, sitting between those two guards in stocks, in a prison cell, and all of it's locked up. And he's awakened out of his peaceful sleep. Because he don't know what God's going to do, but he's got peace. Yeah. Can you say amen? Church don't even know what God's up to. And they're praying, interceding. He's sleeping peacefully. And suddenly, a slap comes on his thigh. And he wakes up and says, what? Who dat? Amen? That's what we do when we wake up. Who dat? There's a road in Plant City. I work for Tico. There's a road out there called the Who Dat Road. I've fixed power lines on it before. Amen. Who dat? And he doesn't see anybody. And then he looks up and there's an angel. Get up. Come with me. He said, stocks fell off. Door pops open. He's following the angel. Walks outside the prison, clean outside the door, he's on the outside. And he said, I must be dreaming. I must be dreaming. See, that's what God is saying, call on me. You think you've seen it all, you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. Call on me. Call on me in faith. Call on me when it looks like there's no hope. Call on me when you've messed up. And your own sin and folly and foolishness has got you in trouble. I still love you. And I still want to help you because my mercies are new every day. Can you say amen? Satan is counting on you to give up and give in and let that conscience defeat you. Repent of that stinking old sin. Let God cover that garbage up like a cat does his. Amen. Can you say amen? I like what my dog does after he goes sometimes. He goes. He can't cover it up, but he knows there ain't nothing good back there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Get up in the morning and get it done, praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. Can you say amen? You've got a bad past, but you've got a glorious future, Israel. Call on me. Call on me. Call on me. In the time of trouble, and I will deliver you. And thou shalt glorify me. Can you say amen? You want to bring God glory? Call on him. So that he can move in your life and make you a spectacle. Hallelujah. We're getting ready to close. I'm so glad I watched God work in the national and personal life of the covenant people of old. There are no hopeless cases. The only people who can't be set free are the people who won't call on him. And Satan is counting on discouragement, fear, and doubt, keeping us from calling on him. Amen. There are people today, if I could convince them that God would listen, if they would call, God would bring them out. But they're just not convinced. Can you say amen? One thing you don't do in the Christian camp, you don't. There's no penance here. There's nothing you can do to earn that mercy, to obtain that grace. Hallelujah. This is something Jesus provided through what he did at Calvary. You don't have to live a life trying to make up for your past. You do that with it. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to the things which are... What is before me? What can I... Oh, I'm in such a mess, Brother Venable. Call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you never dreamed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, when miracles happen like that, even the church is unprepared for them. They're praying for what? What are they praying for while the angel's bringing him out? They're praying for his deliverance. They got a little peek hole in the door. They're all inside praying, deliver Peter, deliver Peter, deliver Peter, deliver Peter. And they're praying so loud for his deliverance, no one is peeping to see what God is doing. There's a loud knock on the door. And when the little damsel, she runs to the door to see who's knocking while everybody's interceding. And she gets to the door and peeks out. She says, oh my goodness. She said, she runs back and says, Peter's out there. And they said, listen, don't bother us. We're praying for Peter. I don't know if we're ready for what God's ready to show us and God's ready to do. It took a while for them to stop praying to go see if God was answering. Sometimes things are so hopeless, we just got to, you know what I mean? We're not really just stopping for a minute to look for the answer. We're too busy interceding to look for the answer. I got to tell you how this works. I'm way over time. A lot of churches are done eating dessert. We're about ready to have ours too. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This God, if he's not this big, if he's changed, if he doesn't move anymore, then all of our prayer stuff is phony. Because we know deep down on the inside, I meet with preachers, and one of the things that we all agreed on, that there's more requests for prayer than there is testimony of answers. There's a terrible imbalance in the covenant people of God. Can you say, man? Every week there are requests for prayer, but few testimonies in most gatherings of answered prayer. Amen. This thing needs to be balanced out. We serve a God who said, call on me. Call on me, not just in your religious, ritualistic, doubting, faithless prayers, but call upon me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of heaven and earth. Can you say amen? And I'll show you great and mighty things which you've never seen before or even dreamed of. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How many want to see some things this year? Not because we need a sign to believe, but because we do believe. And these signs are, who are they for? And these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. Hallelujah. In my name, Listen, there's victory over the devil and demon forces. In my name, they will tread on serpents. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Not be oppressed by him. Hallelujah. But put him to flight. Praise God. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall. Listen, you can mince those words all you want, but the Bible does not mince words. Can you say amen? Call upon his name. In my name, you're going to see some things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. In my name, if you drink any deadly thing, and don't you bring me no snake. And don't hand me no arsenic. He's not talking about that. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that Satan is the god of. We live in a world that we can become polluted by. But we serve a God that is keeping us with his keeping power. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, there's demons all over the place. But we're... And there's angels around us because we believe. Angels encamp around them that believe and that fear the Lord. Hallelujah. So they opened the door, and again, they were shocked that what they were praying for could actually, that God could pull it off and that God would pull it off. But he did. People go to dead churches that won't anoint with oil, suppress the Holy Spirit. And then we get needs that only God can meet, and then we're hard-pressed to get them met. We sit in churches with doctrine, amen, that is mostly man's ritual, that would tell us right now that we're just had too much pizza, we're too emotional, amen, that would criticize everything that God's doing. My healing would not be acknowledged. And yet when we're sick, what do we want God to do for us? Can you say amen regardless of what church we're in? We want him to do what we're preaching right here, right now. We want him to come through. People need to know this God. Amen. We need to get rid of our denominational loyalties and start serving him instead of them. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. There are churches I wouldn't take my dog to for prayer. I don't believe God's going to do anything. So prayer is phony from day one. All of it, not just some of it. You can't even pray for the lost if you don't believe in miracles. Because if God is going to supernaturally intervene in the normal course, he's going to have to bring conviction on someone that is hell-bent on going to hell. He's going to have to hit them off, hem them in, and convict their heart. He's going to have to intervene. That, my friend, is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. Can you? How dare us, amen, pray for the lost and not pray for the bound. Pray for the lost and not pray for the sick. Let me close with this. There's a woman comes into the temple. And she's got something. I won't diagnose her, but she could have crippling arthritis. She could have some kind of spinal condition. Amen. It has drawn her over like this. But she's faithful. She's coming into the temple. Jesus is in the temple that day. Oh, church changes when Jesus comes to the meeting. Oh yeah, things happen when Jesus actually shows up. Amen. Yeah, it makes a difference when he shows up. He's standing there, watch this woman come in. She's a Jew. She's a Jewess. And he knows that she's Abraham's seed. And he knows that God has revealed himself in the old covenant. Amen. It's Jehovah Rapha to the covenant people, the physician. He knows that Satan is the author of all of the bad things taking place in this world. Insurance company are calling it an act of God. Can you say amen? Because they want God to be the bad guy. But Jesus sees her come in like that. He goes over, lays hands on her. He speaks over her. She bones crackle. And she stands up free. That's the first time they did this dance, was when Jesus did that. You've seen him do that? This lady did all that. I can't even do it, but she did something like that. Can you do it? You can't do it. Come on, bust a move. You can't do it. And bones crackle. She busted a move. And boy, it made the church mad. Something happening out of their control. They're just like Penny Marshall directing this whole thing. It's time God took over. Time we give God some control. Time we invited Him to the meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have miracles on schedule. They come and said, He's healing on the Sabbath. Who does He think He is healing on the Sabbath? Jesus looked around and said, because the church is dead and they hate it when something happens to prove how dead they really are. Can you say amen? So you know what? He turns around and He says, if you got an ox and he falls in a ditch, you say, oh, it's the Sabbath. Let him stay in there and die down in there. No, you get rope and you pull that bad boy out. Amen. He's expensive. He's worth something. You get him out. And He said, and here, and ought not this woman? And then He said, she's got a right. Ought means ought to. God makes a covenant. He watches over His word of that covenant to perform it. He said, ought not this woman what? What qualified her? Daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these many years. Can you say, man, ought not she be healed today? Ought not there be more to church, amen, than just sitting there bound by Satan, oppressed by him? Can you say, man, this is not just any woman walking in here. This is a daughter, a legitimate, bona fide covenant lady. She's a daughter of Abraham. You say, that's fine, Brother Venable, but I'm not a Jew. I beg your pardon. Can you say amen? As many are of the household of faith, they are Abraham's seed by faith. And the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! He called all of this the children's bread. It belongs to them. But even someone who wasn't a Jew that worshiped him and put faith in him said even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Before the Gentiles were even grafted into the true vine, he moved and cast the devil out of this woman's daughter with his word. He didn't even have to go to her house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because she did what? Call upon me. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you've never seen and never dreamed. What is the point of prayer if it's just going to be an empty thing, void of power and God's purpose? But what happens when prayer starts getting answered? Say it with me. Deuteronomy 4:7. Who has a God like our God? That's why in the gift of the Spirit today said this man standing up here getting ready to celebrate 64 years without cancer was dying at 8 years old. Who has a God like our God? Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When my son called me and said, Dad, I'm bleeding. I can't keep anything on my stomach and I'm passing blood. I'm spitting up blood. I began to intercede for him again anew and afresh. But I was praying for his salvation more than anything. So concerned about his immortal soul. And his concern was his immortal soul. So when the doctor said, amen, you drink any more, you die. My son figured out through reading between the lines, he figured he had about a 6-month window. He wanted to set his life in order with God, with his family, and be ready to go. He prayed the sinner's prayer. He said, Jesus is my King, and accepted the Lord. But he didn't expect the damage in his liver to be healed. There wasn't some big intercessory group praying to that end. He felt like Israel, we deserved what we got. See what I mean? We deserved what we got. And some of you may feel that he deserved what he got. And he did deserve what he got. He walked in. He said, Dad, my sin did this. I want to caution you today. If you ever have a failure and the devil hurts you while you're out from under God's covering, you do deserve that. You walked away in rebellion. But don't let that devil tell you that you can't come back to God. And don't let him tell you that God's mercy for you has stretched so thin that he will not help you or hear you anymore. That's what God was telling Jeremiah. Tell them while they're down there. Tell them, don't write me off. And don't give up on me. Call upon me. One day there's a group of people going to come back to me. They're going to bow to no other God, and they're going to call on me. And the day they do, I'm going to show you great mighty things. I'm going to bring a captive people and loose them from a captor that in no way in themselves they could get away from. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to restore their fortunes and their lands and their holy city and my worship. Can you say amen? And their tongue is going to be filled with laughter. Their mouth with song. Praise God, for they will be as those that dream. And this was beyond my son's wildest dream. When that damaged liver that was performing below where it needed to be because of the damaged from 28 years of acute alcoholism. 28 years, not one day without drunkenness at night to go to sleep. Not one day without getting inebriated. Not one day without it. Twice hospitalized for alcohol poisoning, close to death, refusing to get any help. Once in a mental ward, locked in a mental ward. Listen to me. Suicidal. One time bleeding in a hospital because of the terrible migraines, eating aspirin like candy and drinking hard liquor, and his blood becoming so thin that he was passing blood out of both orifices, and he walked out of the hospital while they were looking for the source of the bleeding. And I didn't know where he was. But God is a mighty God. Don't you write somebody off because you were frustrated with them. Don't you write somebody off because you feel like they deserve what they're getting. You be very, very cautious, because a day may come when you need, amen, what God offers. And that is every morning when I get up, I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to pardon. Hallelujah. People will turn to me. I'm serious about this. If they want to be free, I'm the God who will set them free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know anybody praying for healing for his liver. We were all, he had it. His level of faith was, if God will let me live 6 months and I'll live it alcohol free and I go to heaven. That's all I want from him. But God did something that sowing a seed didn't get, because Jesus sowed the seeds of it at Calvary.
Amen.
God, he didn't have to write nobody no check. Because you couldn't buy this if you were a billionaire. It's the precious blood of Jesus that provided this kind of mercy and grace flowing from the throne of God. God said, I'm not going to just do what he asked. I'm going to do something he didn't ask for and don't even feel worthy of. And that shows how merciful he is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to heal that liver. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just going to throw that in as a bonus. I want the world to know that I'm a God who is more than enough. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet and give him praise? We're way past time. I don't know about you, but I'm not a Penny Marshall director type of preacher. We invited God here with our praise. He's here today. I don't know what your schedule is for the rest of the day, and frankly, I don't care, because it's God's day. That's why some of your friends and family go to other churches. I hope they never get desperate for God. Amen? Because a cut and dried, convenient, it's not going to change them or alter the normal course of human affairs. Of course, Satan is going to move against them supernaturally. He's going to alter a whole lot in their life if they keep playing the church game. I want to see God move like I never wanted to see God move before. Number three, if you will. Let's lift our hands and praise him right now. If this is not a year of miracles, then our prayers are not going to be answered this year. And if our prayers are not answered, it's going to be business as usual in our lives. And if that happens, Satan, who is moving supernaturally, and you don't have to pray or believe for him to do it, he's moving supernaturally. Can you say amen? We need to counteract him with letting God loose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Call upon Him. Number three, I believe it is.